to A Podcast Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com. Or find us on Instagram at Dr_Silkworth or A Podcast Greater Than Yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
Yeah.
Right?
That was beautiful.
That's the doo-doo version of our song.
Okay.
You like it?
I think we should go. I think y'all should launch it back to like the 1950s with like the small like bum 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 bum.
Get the cordettes.
I like that kind of a jingle. Yes, yeah. Get the cordettes.
Yeah, we'll have to get out the
Necronomicon
and have them reanimated.
We will. Recall them from the dead
for our
no big deal
hideously niche recovery podcast. I was thinking,
they would love that. I would love to be disturbed from eternal slumber to come back and do a jingle for someone's podcast.
I was thinking maybe like turn of the century, like
either that or you can throw it all the way back and we can get Gregorian chants. I think that for the more serious episodes,
hell yes,
we can bring some monks in and sing in a dead language.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. You ever see those guys like on TikTok or whatever, where they're like linguistic experts and they purport to be able to like,
yes,
basically
sometimes translate. I'm like, oh wow, yeah. And then sometimes I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know that this 21-year-old white guy really knows, you know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't it seems like you know a bunch of stuff, but you're maybe spitballing here or there.
It's fun to imagine.
Right. Anyway, this is a podcast greater than yourself.
It sure is.
You're Marty and I'm John Barleycorn.
That is true.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah?
It's just kind of going.
Get out of here, you.
Yo.
What's up, Hank?
That's my husband, Hank.
Yes.
Hi.
He brought me coffee.
Love you. There you go. Is that Hank's twin back there? Oh, my God. Two Hanks.
It is Hank. No. It's his. They're not twins.
Yeah.
They are brothers. Wow. Crazy. Sorry.
I'm seeing double.
Forgot I
four Hanks. Okay.
That's a frightening concept.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is a new little type of episode called One Alcoholic.
I'm excited. I'm nervous.
It's called One Alcoholic Talks with Another Alcoholic.
Okay.
I was like, that's not really what this is, but I'm going to steal that name.
But I mean, it's okay.
So
all right.
Nobody
all
else
right.
can do it. Yeah. So basically what I'm going to do is I'd like to hear your opinion on some things.
I've got plenty of those.
Cool. Perfect. So first up, the war in Ukraine. No. So, okay.
Right. Let me pull up my pages of references.
Okay. Now, I understand Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Hold on. Let me go get my stack of law books out really quickly. Yeah. I've got those stashed away.
I didn't know I needed to Zoom from my personal library. So this first suction. This first suction. This first, what does it say? I drank at Dr. Bob's. So your mug,
yeah, oh my God, yes. My friend went to, oh my gosh, for all of you listeners out there, I'm drinking out of the best mug ever. My best friend, who is not an alcoholic, has family in Akron and went to visit Dr. Bob's house for me, took pictures all in there, and he brought me back a mug that has a picture of the house, and on the back it says, I drank at Dr. Bob's, National Historic Landmark.
Dude, one of
I forgot this was the mug that I...
one of the most random cringe things in all of recovery social media to me is the number and like just the sheer volume of people posting pictures or video from going to Dr. Bob's house who specified that they counted the steps up to his door and that there's 12 steps. I'm just like, dude, y'all need to chill, dude. Y'all need a hobby.
We all know at this point. Even my friend who he showed up and he and his husband showed up and apparently the tour guide was like, oh, we got a couple of drunks. And my friend was like, no, 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 not me. But he went in anyways. He braved it. He said it was real weird.
Yeah, I've driven by it, like, by which I mean we were going to dinner and someone was like, oh, that's like the street that's next to the street where Bob lived. And I was like, oh, okay. So burgers or what? Are we doing Thai food, Indian burgers? What are we doing?
Apparently they did, according to my friend, he said that they did sauerkraut. They would give them sauerkraut and tomato juice to dry up the drunks at Dr. Bob's. So if you're ever wanting like a national AA holiday official food, just pop open that can of tomato juice and have a few spoonfuls of delicious, delicious sauerkraut. That's exactly what I wanted whenever I was hungover.
I'm trying to think of something worse, and I'm struggling.
It's hard. It's hard to imagine something worse than that when you're hungover.
Yeah. Wow. Yikes. There's
very big side thing. My bad.
Well, it took us to a good place because there's a guest on the show who goes by the alias Joe Barton. And I'm not sure where he got that alias. It seems like a weirdly incongruent, you know, slap together grouping of sounds. Mm-hmm. But he has a lot to say about sauerkraut. So
really,
yeah, there's a debate as to whether sauerkraut is sober or not.
Really? Why not want to get pickled onions?
Right. I mean, this is not our debate.
Once you're a pickle, you can't become a cucumber again. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
That's the thing. You can't go from being sauerkraut to being cabbage. So, right. There you go. So, okay. First chunk of things. Let's get into this.
Okay.
First chunk of things, I want to know if you think these things are overrated or underrated.
Oh, cool. Okay. I've always imagined myself doing this on a little pitchfork thing. In my mind, where I'm in a really cool band, they're asking questions, and I'm like, actually.
You've got
this is really feeding into my ego right now.
Yes, you're ready. Okay. All right. Now you can only be disappointed by the questions I'm about to ask you, though.
Fantastic.
Because it's not going to be like Loaded by Velvet Underground. Overrated or underrated? That's not where we're going. Okay. So, overrated or underrated? Recovery memes.
It depends. I think to a certain degree at this day, in this day and age, they're becoming overrated because there are so many of them. And then I have seen on the periphery of these accounts, some drama occur. I'm just like, oh my Lord, you guys, come on now. Right. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that in the year of our Lord 2020, when some of these became more popular and prevalent, I think they were perfectly rated. That was exactly what I needed.
Yeah. So when did we meet? Because I'm pretty sure that I think the first time we ever talked was you sent me
via a meme page. Yeah.
I think you sent me a meme
and it was the meme of the car like veering off the road on the overpass, like at top speed. And I think the meme was like, obliterating everything, going off into, you know, obliteration, blotting out the consciousness of this world as best we can, or accepting spiritual help was like the main road. And so,
I thought it was the one that was, I don't know if it's Lord of the Rings or what it is. It's like, but it's like a giant.
Oh, yeah.
Is that?
I sent a few of them. I'll have to dig those back out, but they are pretty good. I made remember, one that I specifically yeah. sent to my sponsor the other day.
There was one that you had. I remember you messaging me on Dr. Silkworth and saying,
"Yeah,
hey, thought you might find this funny, something like that." Like I used this at a treatment center the other day or something.
Yeah, and got zero laughs. No one laughed. I remember like being really excited to via Zoom pop that slide up,
doing my and really stand up routine for the
do my stand up routine having the shakes. People at the I was trying to really like, you know, I was trying to bring some levity to the situation. And
is that that's was that the treatment center that me and you and Hank used to do sometimes together?
No, this one was like 5-star resort. I remember the first time we rolled up to this joint, they've got like a heated outdoor pool. They've got like a giant, oh my God, it was insane. It was someone during the meeting, I'm not kidding you, because we took stuff to there like in person as well. Someone halfway through the meeting was like walking around with fancy juices. And like while the meeting was going on, was like handing these people these fancy juices. And I was like, what on earth? I was like, man, I'm about to relapse. Go take a little vacation here for 30 days and then get right back in it.
Let me buy I'm some kidding, dirty guys, pee and get into this place.
Yeah. How do I get in here, you guys? Love this it. Is great. Y'all got the hookup. We riding horses later or what?
All right. Okay. Overrated or underrated step studies?
Underrated. Underrated. Yeah. I feel like there are way more feelings meetings. Just in general, then there are step studies. And every time someone hears like, oh, this one's actually going to be a step study, people's faces immediately fall. And like, dude, what do you mean? Like, this is it. This is what we're here for.
Right.
You can talk at the next meeting. There's a discussion meeting right afterwards. And if you want to stay, you can talk about your dead dog at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do really, really love steps. I've gotten so much more out of step studies than I have any other types of meetings.
Yeah. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. No spoilers, but there's a few dead dog meeting questions later. So let's try to rein it in.
Yes.
Okay. Overrated or underrated? Sober celebrities.
Overrated.
Yeah.
I have overrated. And this is where I won't say anybody's names in particular, but...
This isn't even the one I wanted to
talk about. Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I just really think that, like, especially, I understand the idea of recovering out loud, and I understand the idea of removing the stigma behind alcoholism and drug addiction.
Yeah.
And I do think that's important. But I also think that at that level, it's about ego, dude. Why the hell, you know?
Right.
There's avenues to be helpful that aren't your giant social media platform.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, I just think that it seems so gross to me personally. It just really kind of does. And there's always the off chance that they're selling something or promoting something Ooh. Along with it when they talk about it. And or they have a book and their name is on the book and their face is on the book. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Right.
What are we doing here? You know? It grosses me out. And I think too, it kind of grosses me out because I feel like those folks kind of tend to float around the general self-help populace as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of my friends who are not alcoholics really like think that that's what it's about.
Right.
Because of that. And they'll come to me and they'll ask me questions and they'll show me quotes from these people's books or their Instagrams or whatever. And I'm like, that's great. I love that. Thanks for sending me that. I've got no strong opinions about it whatsoever.
Oh, it feels so good. Thanks.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Without this Instagram post, how was I supposed to know that it was okay?
It's okay not to drink. I think the quintessential thing that I always think is, you know, you're very famous, you're very well known, and you become someone who then is also very well known for being sober, and then always
something
tied
happens
up in that. Yeah, well, always tied up in that part of the identity is you're being asked like what you did or how'd you do it or whatever, and you're talking about recovery this, recovery that, and how, you know, and that might be one piece where it's like how confusing and weird your fucking, your specific shit around recovery may be and how off base it may be or misleading or confusing. But the real problem to me comes when then you're fucking slurring your speech on the red carpet, and then you're all bleary-eyed with Barbara Walters, and then you're fucking dead in a hot tub 3 weeks later or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's like,
I had so many friends send me stuff all about that, and like this individual also talked about having like, you know, writing a play about it. I'm like, dude, no one gives a shit about your play, dog. Like, I'm so sorry. No one gives a shit.
That can't possibly be a new sentence that no one's ever said, but it kind of feels new. No one gives a shit about your play, dog. Like, I don't know that any humans ever said that, but probably they have. Okay. All right.
I don't know. Ask a few theater majors and they would probably they've probably heard that before.
The off Broadway interpretation of what is the Julia Stiles movie where she like goes to the hood and she's like a ballerina who fails the Juilliard tryout.
Dude.
It's like Save the Last Dance or, you know, one of those kind of names.
Oh, Save the Last Dance was good. That was a good one.
But yeah, she like,
I say all
she
of this
goes
as
like,
I actively
dancing.
Yes. That was a good one. But I say all of this as someone who is like actively waiting for the moment in time that I am old enough to portray Martha in a city production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
I saw that movie on your IG story yesterday. Okay,
that's my favorite movie of all time. Okay, sorry. Anyways,
yeah. All right. Okay. Overrated or underrated? Going through the Big Book line by line.
Underrated. Underrated.
Yeah.
I think it's underrated. I do. Yeah. I think that. Well, having been someone who like thought that I could do the whole like, okay, yeah, yada, 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 and then skip the second chapter because that like, doesn't really appeal to me. Mm. Not doing any of the prefaces, not doing any of the appendices because what the fuck is that? I don't know. I've done it both ways. And the way that it stuck with me was when I went through it line by line with someone.
Yeah.
That's the way that it stuck with me. And it was less that like, I don't know. When people suggested I do it that way, I was like, I can fucking read. I'm not, you know, I don't need you to read. Help me read. But I did. I did need someone to help me read. Mm-hmm. And it was less about, you know, the words and more about, you know, the stuff that I didn't know behind it. Like, you know, the real people behind some of the names, some of the stories that went with this stuff, some of the concepts, some defining words that I thought I knew the definition to already.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff was absolutely crucial to my current understanding.
You know, what's interesting to me, around that is, cause I'm not like a line by line person. I'm like, my whole thing is like somebody initially going through the steps, like I'm just going to show you how to do the steps. But like anytime then someone's like already through the steps and they're like, hey, like when someone asks me, like, will you take me through the book line behind? The answer is no, just because I don't have time to do that. I just don't have the fucking time. but please go find a group that does that. Especially now with Zoom, you could find one every day that's doing that probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is it was just like recent that I even like bothered to look up the, or somebody else looked it up, but it was in a conversation where the actual definition and the use of the word prosaic was explained. And I was like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, well, yeah, that makes a lot more sense that like, cause it's like, I wasn't confused by it just cause like, I get it in context. I get the analogy that's being used with the prosaic steel girdusi. Sorry. I get it. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. Like for me, I'm like, whatever. I don't care. I don't need to know the def. You know what I mean? I'm like, I understand the story. So I never like had the impetus to look it up. But then when to your point, when I heard the definition, I was like, oh, like you just said, like, I actually do now have an understanding of what is being said more than I thought I did, right?
Yep. My very first sponsor that I had whenever I went through all this stuff, she had me read the sections on my own, but then there was like a worksheet that went with it that I filled out. So, you know, I had to have read each sentence in order to plug in the right word to the worksheet, and then we'd go over it together. But what that did was then give me an avenue to like, okay, I've definitely read all of this stuff. Anything I couldn't find, I had questions on, and we could talk about. But then also like there was stuff that would come up that I'd be like, well, who the fuck is this person? Why does this matter? Why, you know, I was able, I don't know, going line by line, just really let me ask all of the questions that I needed to ask that I probably wouldn't have asked.
Yeah. I guess I had few questions. When I got sober, I was just like,
whatever, let's do it.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like it was like that. There was still some part of me that was kind of like balking, so to speak.
Right.
And that thought that I was too smart for this stuff. But the vast majority of me, I remember we got to step three. And once I did that, that's when I was just like, oh, I don't care. Whatever. Like the first chunk of this book convinced me enough to that like the rest of it did not matter. No questions barely after that at all.
I think you'll find as we go through these that the reason I chose every one of these is because I know people who have perspectives I can relate with on either direction on all of these. So okay. Maybe except this one. I don't know. Overrated or underrated? Your face.
I'm very excited.
Grand sponsors.
Overrated? I don't know. I don't really interact with my grand sponsors. I don't know. I feel like, well, I mean, I guess underrated because how, you know, I'm sure my sponsor has questions about me where she's like, what the fuck? What is she talking about? I don't know what to do. And so whatever, you know,
she had me look up prosaic steel girdusi.
No, I'm going to go with underrated. I'm going to go with underrated because I do think that, like, you know, not that I like talk to my grand sponsor or like put her on a pedestal or like revere her in any way, shape or form. I do know the woman. But I do think that being able to kind of look at this, you know, outward reaching mandala, so to speak, of like alcoholic, helping alcoholic, helping alcoholic, yeah, helping alcoholic, like down the line. I think that's really cool. I don't put a lot of stock in like lineages, so to speak. But I think that it is cool to just be like, wow, this woman helped this woman help this woman help me.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I will say underrated on that one.
All right. Overrated or underrated? Serenity.
I can't really say one way or the other because when I really think about it, I don't think I know the definition of the word. I actually really don't. I don't know. I guess underrated. I don't know. I think it's pretty accurately rated.
Okay.
Serenity's, I don't know. What's the? I'm gonna have to look this up.
When me and Ted,
or maybe it's just like the like strange amalgam of like what people in AA thinks Ren feels, but because right. You know that gets thrown around hither and yon all the time, and I'm like, what are we? And clearly, I'm like, what are we talking about? Because I don't even know the definition.
Right. When me and Ted did this, we we decided on a new addition to the lexicon of Zoomer slang. Which would be rated when something is just neither overrated nor underrated. It's just rated.
It's just rated.
Yeah. Very rated.
Yeah, that's pretty rated.
That's rated.
That's pretty rated. That checks out.
Of course, we still haven't verified the validity of this claim with any children. So, you know.
No. We would need to call, a Gen Z.
Did you look it up?
I don't know. I just looked it up, and the definition is apparently the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. I'd say that's fucking underrated.
Fucking rated, dude.
That's pretty. I mean, yeah, I would say yeah, it's pretty rated. It's pretty rated. I like being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. But I also feel like maybe in recovery rooms, it's a little bit overrated because I can't think of like anybody that I know who's always feeling that way. Mm. And maybe we put too much emphasis on always feeling that way.
Okay.
That's my meta take on it.
Sick.
Thanks.
Okay. Overrated or underrated? Steps 6 and 7.
Underrated. I feel like it is a very short little chunk. It's like what, like 2 paragraphs? There's like 1 little paragraph for 6, 1 little paragraph for 7
mm-hmm.
on the same page. But I really, really do think that that's like, it's crucial because mm-hmm. like it's a checkpoint.
Yeah.
At least 6 is kind of like a checkpoint. I've got to go back through everything that I've done. Have I done the absolute best that I can? And then 7, like, okay, of these things that I have found and discovered, am I ready to give them all away? And if not, which ones? And, you know, how can I become willing to get rid of them? You know, I don't know. I feel like if I hadn't done that, there were some things that came up in my 6 that I had to then go back and talk with my sponsor about that I hadn't brought up in my initial footstep. There were, you know, it's a good place for me to look at how I've been doing with like meeting steps and service, wherever, you know, I don't know. It's a really good place to take stock before I go out into the world.
Mm.
I think.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Overrated or underrated, the meeting after the meeting?
I'm going to go ahead and right now, that is overrated. I, you can't get rid of me fast enough. I don't like to go to coffee afterwards. I will say, okay, in early recovery, that was far more important to
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless it is someone who is asking me about AA or sponsorship or is one of my sponsees or is my sponsor, I'm like, all right, y'all, I'll see you next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see you, gosh. I just, I'm ready to get home. I just want to go home.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I will say in early recovery, that's where I found, I mean, that's where I met Hank. So that's kind of important, I guess. I am married to him, so whatever. It's kind of, I guess, important. Yeah, I will say in early recovery, it was far more important, but now for me, it's overrated. And I'm out of there. I am on my way to the couch as quickly as possible.
Sick. All right.
Unless you have questions about the book, you know.
Right. Okay, overrated or underrated? Gratitude.
Overrated.
Yeah.
Overrated. overrated just because and I'm not trying to say gratitude in general. I'm just saying the way that gratitude is perceived sometimes in the rooms is overrated.
No, nah, you hate gratitude.
No, I'm never thankful.
Admit it.
I hate everything. No, not at all. But like the idea of like gratitude lists and like daily gratitude check-ins and like, you know, what if you lost everything tomorrow that you didn't say thank you for today? I don't like that concept, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, and it always typically, it tends to get back to like when gratitude meetings are going on, it always tends to get back to like, I'm grateful for, and it's all external stuff. It's all like my job and, you know, my kids. Well, you know, kids are important, obviously, but they're still external stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe this doesn't make any sense at all. And people with kids are going to be like, we hate Marty. She's awful. I love my kids.
Yeah. Goddamn anti-gratitude.
Like yeah. Oh, I'm going to come out of this sounding like the biggest, like, old cantankerous woman.
No, you're good.
She turned 30 and then all of a sudden she's too good for gratitude. No, I think that we tend to focus on, like, you know, external stuff when we're looking at gratitude.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Overrated or underrated? Last one. The ninth step promises.
Overrated.
Yeah.
Overrated just because we do them at every meeting. I think they're very important. And a lot of newcomers coming in here, the ninth step promises, and they're like, okay, that sounds pretty cool. I'd like to not be scared to check my mail because of the bills that are in there falling out.
Right.
They used to start putting my mail because I was so afraid to check my mailbox. This is a side story. They used to shove my mail into a plastic bag and put it on my door, and it was all bills. Mm. It was like all. God. Anyways, you know, so that's something that I can understand newcomers being excited about, because I was, but, my favorite promises are the 10th step promises. And I wish that we read those more often, because that's, I feel like, the most pertinent thing to a newcomer coming in is like, okay, yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but what about drinking? Like, that's what I'm here for. You know, how am I going to feel about that? What's that going to look like? How is my life not drinking going to feel?
Yeah.
And I feel like the 10 step promises does a really good job of showing what that looks like. I wish we read those more often, at least.
Well, I think it's interesting how, you know, if you think about what we call the promises being presented as like what life with the results of the actions preceding the results being described looks like, then it's like, you know, the ninth step promises is basically like talking about all of the shit that we drag people through, like being free from that, because we're not stirring that kind of shit up anymore and we've resolved it, right?
Yep.
And then with the 10th step promises, it's like, this is where we enter into a daily framework for living in a way that not only keeps our side of the street clean, but opens us up to being, to growing in understanding and effectiveness in every area of our life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, so all of the things, like where we introduce this idea of bottles being a symptom, all the things that block me from the spiritual light that I'm trying to access, the freedom, all of those things being stripped away and the maintenance of continuing to be unblocked from that stuff, that's going to result in me being free from this thing that's been, like, you know, destroying my life. It's like, yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's incredible.
It did not. Those were the promises that when I, you know, I did read them before I went through all the steps. I can't remember who showed them to me. But I remember that's what seemed like batshit, no way, crazy to me. Like, the ninth step promises kind of checked out a little bit, because I was like, yeah, I guess if I'm not drinking long enough, then I guess I'll pay my bills and not be so scared of financial insecurity. But when I read the 10th step promises without having gone through this, you know, still in step one, I was like, how the fuck am I going to not think the problem's going to be removed? What do you mean people talking about? No. That's not real. There's right. no way. Like, that seems so crazy.
Totally. Yeah. Okay.
But it is real.
All right, we're going to move into some power rankings now.
Oh, I love power rankings. Let's do it. This is so exciting.
Okay, so.
This is like those quizzes.
First up.
I love personality quizzes.
Top tier. You're going to give me your top tier okay. in each of these categories, okay? Top tier caffeinated beverage.
Top tier caffeinated beverage?
Yeah.
Can I slot two in there? We've got Diet sure. Coke.
Okay.
Diet Coke on a cold day. That aspartame. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for my first kidney stone to appear. I know it's happening at this point. I've accepted it.
If that's
I know
what's
going to
cause it, I'll be way ahead of you on dialysis.
I don't care. Okay. I'll see you in the dialysis room. Yeah. We can both bring our crochet. Yeah.
You bring the dictionary, I'll bring the big book.
Okay, great. Diet Coke is number one, but it's also right alongside this newfangled beverage they're selling at the Starbucks. It's called an oat milk shaken espresso.
Ooh.
And if you're feeling really crazy, you add an extra shot of espresso in there.
Mm.
And it's just the most delicious thing in the world.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. recently when the basic bitch season came, the pumpkin spice festival, I'm a pea spice girl. So I was like, yeah, dude, let's go right now. So like, but I had this thing where, cause I can't handle coffee. It's just like, it's too much. So I go and I'm like, yeah, I know I love chai latte.
Oh.
And so I'm like,
with the pumpkin spice in there?
Yeah. So I'm like, can I get a chai latte with pumpkin spice? So the first time I asked for it, whatever they did, it was literally like, because I had slept like 5 hours that day. I was exhausted. I had kind of had a head cold, you know, and I went from work on my lunch to Target and I like went to Starbucks, got the latte. I am not kidding at all. Like halfway through the first sip, like walking to do some shopping, I was like,
spiritual awakening.
Yes. Immediately my life was different. I was just like, I was like, I am on a new footing. I'm like,
there was before the pumpkin spice chai latte and after.
Well, then see, then it became this like chasing the dragon heroin addiction thing where I was like, how do I get that exact combo
again? It is like that.
Well, because every time I'd go to another one after that, I would say what I said, and then
the milk ratio is different.
Well, they would throw me off because they'd go, do you want the pumpkin foam? Or the pumpkin cream? Or do you want the pumpkin? I'm like, do what they
call
did
up,
at the
call
Target.
Call up the Target. Call up that Target. Here's the address. Call them up. Ask for the lady behind the counter. I think her name was Rebecca.
Yes.
And she'll tell you exactly what she did.
Yeah. She acted like no one had ever tipped her in her life before when I gave her $5. She'll remember me, apparently. I'm like, God,
oh,
what horrible people must you be dealing with all day? I couldn't find the right combo ever again after that. I don't know.
Dude, that's so unfortunate.
Don't put the onus on me to figure out how to make it. Because like, I don't know how to
make
it.
You should know.
I'm just like, just do whatever's going to taste the most pumpkin spicy, but not be coffee. There you go. Do that.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
I also like how nowadays it's like, I can't handle coffee. And then like back in the day, we're all slamming like... 5 million things. I saw something the other day. It was like a meme where it was like, I used to take like me in whenever not caring about the three pills that some rando just gave me. And then like me now looking on the back of a vitamin thing to see if I can take one or two.
All right.
So yes. True. I was looking at the back of my melatonin the other day, like, this is really suspicious. Like maybe I should only have a half of the melatonin.
No, I'm like literally reading the ingredients and the nutritional information on the back of an Altoids tin.
Yeah, literally. My gum the other day, I was like, I eat a lot of gum. Is there sugar alcohols in here? It's gum.
Oh my God.
It's going to be fine.
Okay. All right. Top tier AA speaker.
Ooh.
This is the one.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, so I don't. This person is not a. I know that they've done a lot of stuff in Texas, but they are not.
This could be anybody. Somebody you heard once, a type of speaker.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Chris yeah. C.
Okay.
Chris C is his name.
Chris C. There you go. Yep. Cool.
Yep.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's very broad, whatever, you know.
My favorite, I went to a thing that he was speaking at, and he's got a big personality, but it mm-hmm. like works, and he's very knowledgeable and he's very passionate about the book and about recovery. And, but it's just, it was not the typical speaker that these ladies, anyways, he spoke and then I'm waiting in line for the bathroom and there were these two ladies in front of me and they were like, that was different. That was interesting. Yeah. Some really good points. And I was like, yep, that sounds about right. So if you're looking for that kind of speaker, Christy. Yeah. Anyways.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Top tier prayer.
Seventh step.
Ooh, yeah.
That's my favorite one. At least right now. That's ranking top for me right now. That's the one I've been kind of using recently. But I also really like is it the Saint Anthony? Is that who it is?
Yo, Saint Anthony. Hit me with that prayer you do. No, I don't. Saint Francis?
Whose is that one? Yeah, that's the one. I'm not Catholic. I don't know. It's the Saint Francis prayer is the other one that I really like.
Yeah.
That's I liked that one a lot. That's one that I used a lot in very early recovery because I had no idea how to pray in a way that didn't sound like the Baptist priest that I had growing up.
Yeah.
Where he's like, "Good now, Lord. I pray." Like, that's what my mind sounded like when I tried to pray. And I was like, I gotta like print something out and just read it right. Yeah, to start out with.
I gotta figure out how to pray without saying, "I pray in your name." It's like, yeah. Feels unnecessary.
It was tough to not do. I had to uncondition myself.
All right. Top tier meeting format.
Top tier meeting format. Book study.
No.
Book study.
24-hour a day book.
Popcorn reading.
Are we talking?
Yes. No, I really like, my personal favorite
quit
is
like
As Bill Sees It. Well, I Quit Like a Woman is my favorite.
As Bill Sees It.
My favorite meeting format is one where someone just looks up the daily reflection because they forgot they were chairing. I'm just kidding. I've done that. I do that all the time. No.
I love the idea of someone loving Bill Sees It. Just a little booklet someone threw together just so Bill could fucking make a few bucks.
Oh my God.
Here's some crap
my
I already wrote.
My favorite is Big Book Study. My second favorite, my least favorite, if we're going lowest tier, would have to be like any grapevine meeting.
Hey, save it.
What the fuck? Oh, so,
save
sorry.
It for bottom tier.
I'm saving it.
Okay, let's go then. Top tier big book chapter. So doctor's opinion through a vision for you.
Oh, top tier big book chapter. That's nigh impossible, my friend. Nigh impossible. I think I'm going to have to go with To Wives. I'm just kidding. No, how many people have joked that it's To Wives? So many.
You're not the first.
I'm not the first. My favorite would probably actually have to be More About Alcoholism.
Hell yeah. Love it.
That's my favorite one. I just remember like all of the qualms that I still had in my brain while I was going through this with like, I'm not kidding you. All the things that I was saying in my mind, like, well, you know, maybe I'm not, or like, maybe I can do this on my own, or maybe I'm smart enough. Well, I already learned all this stuff. Shouldn't I be fine? It was like, they knew what I was thinking. And then they wrote that chapter and they were like, no, you dumb, dumb, you are an alcoholic. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks.
Right. Hell yeah. Same. Okay. Top tier personal story from the book. So this is cover to cover, including the first 164. Any personal
my
story?
My favorite. Oh, it's Our Southern Friend. That's my favorite.
Why?
Absolutely. Our Southern, he's just a little emo, weirdo, Southern boy. My favorite is when he's like, the wasp crawled slowly up the neck of the woman in front of me in the pew. I wondered if it would reach the top of her neck. It flew away. The church bell rang. I'm like, yes, this guy gets it. For a little while, I briefly considered getting like a weird meta, like this was kind of early on, a weird meta tattoo of a wasp crawling up my neck. And then people would be like, what's that boy? And I'd be like, you know that chapter in the Alcoholics Anonymous? Our Southern Friend?
Oh my God. So somebody else chose that one too.
That. Really?
Yeah, somebody else chose that one. And
that's funny.
The rationale was like, because the sentences are direct and short.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
it's very Cormac McCarthy, you know. It's the Cormac McCarthy section of the big book.
Oh man, that's great. Okay, bottom tier caffeinated beverage.
Bottom tier caffeinated beverage. Anything from Dutch Brothers. We have had an influx of Dutch Brothers,
dude.
And it
a
all
new
sucks.
Dutch Brothers opens every 300
every
yards
seconds.
Every 5 days. What is happening? I
ben,
swear
it's
to
all
God.
Bad. I went once while I was getting, I had to get some crap done on my car. And so I was like, oh, I want some coffee. There's a Dutch Brothers out there. Let me walk my happy little butt down the highway. So I did. And I regret every step of that half mile walk that I took to that Dutch Brothers. It was the nastiest thing. And they asked me all sorts of questions that I was like, no, 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 no. I understand that you're very nice and friendly and polite, but I'm not here for that today. Thank you.
Here's my
and all
thing.
The, there's just so much crims.
Okay. Yes. So I don't know if it's nasty or not. I don't know. What I know is going back to the top tier, what I know it is, because I looked into their pumpkin spice options too. And what I know is if I'm going to get a chai latte from them, it's going to be one of three things because it's all they offer. They offer a white chocolate chai latte, which, okay, I'm going to save my commentary. They offer a caramel chai latte, and they offer a, I think it's a white chocolate peppermint chai latte. Okay, so my commentary on all three of those is, what the fuck? What?
There's
I don't
no
want
need.
A fucking milkshake.
There's no need.
I want a chai latte.
I don't need, this isn't syrups. I'm not here for syrups, etc. I'm here for coffee.
Yeah.
Like their cold brew has, like, I just was like, can I just have a black cold brew? That's what I got. Black cold brew. You can rarely ever go wrong with that. There was sugar in the cold brew. I was like, I said unsweet. It's just in there. It's just sugar. Sugar's too much.
There's like, I'm sorry, the press is made out of glass candy glass. It's just sugar.
Actually, you can.
All of our equipment melts into sugar
it's
into
just
your drinks.
Like, it's just like, no, it's just like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory where you can eat everything. Like after you're done with
all
your
the
cup,
filters are
just
sugar.
Cup.
Jesus.
The schnozberries taste like schnozberries.
Okay. Bottom tier AA speaker.
Bottom tier. This guy. I don't even know his name. Sorry. He came to this meeting one time. And like, he was like a big bill. Like it was kind of, you know, anyways, he had been talked up in our small meeting for the week. And, you know, he's coming all the way from like a town, two towns away. And he came in and he talked at length, I'm not kidding, for 50 minutes about all of the different famous people he ever drank with, which I'm first of all, like, there's no way that you know all of these famous people. But he was like, I was on a bus with Janis Joplin. You guys, I was sharing whiskey with Janis. And he would do a pause. And he would look around the room to make sure that people were like reacting appropriately to the name that he just dropped. And then And then he would keep going. And then the next one, he's like, Santana. It's like, what the fuck are we? What? Are we? And then he just talked about how bad it was. And then at the very end, someone was like, it's time to close up the meeting. He's like, oh, and then I got sober.
And then one time I was at AA meeting. And Judas Iscariot was sitting on one side of me.
It was right. Pontius Pilate on the other. It was crazy.
I was like, well, this is this what they call the 15th step? Yeah. Wow.
It was incredible. So baffling. And I kind of wanted to be like, you said you played guitar for these people? Prove it, man. Like,
prove it, man.
Play a lick right now. I got my ukulele in the car.
Throw down, sucker.
Throw down, bro. Prove it.
I love it.
Anyways, that was my bottom tier speaker.
That's bad.
That's pretty bad.
Oh, that's bad. Okay. Bottom tier prayer.
Bottom tier prayer. Hmm. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
Probably the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I get it and everything, but it's just because that's the one that we always end with. And it's right after, like, you know, the whole meeting, we've talked all about how we don't have any, like, religious affiliations or anything.
Yeah.
And then it's fun. And then it's like, okay, now everyone hold hands, circle up, and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah. Right.
Thankfully, you know, whenever I finally got back into the rooms, I didn't give a fuck. You, like, y'all literally could have told me to, like, do a satanic ritual. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's fine.
All right. Yeah, cool. All right.
But yeah.
I fuck with Baphomet. No, it's all right. Cool. I'm down.
We need the blood from what now? I got, okay.
A raccoon? But,
yeah.
A raccoon?
I was just thinking.
I got you.
No problem, you guys. No problem. I'll be right back.
The real ones will know.
The real one, the day one listeners will understand.
The writer dies that one.
Oh, now, yeah, I think the bottom tier would have to be Lord's Prayer, just because I thought you said you guys weren't religious.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Bottom tier meeting format.
Bottom tier meeting format. Grapevine meetings. I didn't know those were, like, real until I accidentally went to a few of them. And I was like, what are we doing here?
I literally just got a shiver up my fucking spine. I've never been to one.
It was horrible. Maybe it was only in this really weird meeting that I went to when I was living in the place that I went to grad school.
What was this like?
But it was like they would just peel one of these ancient, dusty grapevines out of this little shelf.
Jesus.
And they would kind of flip through and they would pick one of the stories and then we would go around and talk about it. And one of the stories was about this person. It was in some random grapevine, but they were like, my experience with being sober at Coachella. That was the fucking story in the grapevine.
Oh my God. Wow.
And it was like, and I met this person at this tent and then I met them again 2 days later at a different tent and it was fate.
Wow.
Because they asked me about being sober.
He was there to see Jigga. I was there to see Z Trip. Opposites attract.
It was so wildly insane. And and then I realized that, like, that was, it was on the meeting, like, calendar at the same week or same time every week, grapevine meeting.
And you're like, I'll be at home.
I will never return.
Doing anything else. Love it.
Yeah, that's my bottom tier.
Okay, bottom tier big book chapter.
Bottom tier big book chapter. I'm going to be controversial here. I'm going to go with I guess it's not probably controversial to employers.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the one.
I figure that's probably what most people have said.
I think it's probably like
most people
like
have either said to wives or employers.
One person just immediately out of the gate, like before I finished asking, was like, Bill Story.
Oh. Damn. Yeah. That one, I feel like the more I've gone through, I'm like, okay, Bill, we got it. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I kind
still
of liked
think
it
it's
because
nowhere
Bill
near the
is
worst.
So full of himself.
Yeah.
And at the time, I also was full of myself.
Well, I think like...
I say that like I'm not full of myself right now.
I think two employers is just sitting there. It's like, come on.
It just is.
It has
it's
to
kind
be
of
the
like,
worst.
Like, yeah. Okay. Like, I don't get much out of this. Whenever I go through it with sponsees, we're just kind of like, so what did you find interesting in this chapter? Not much. Okay. Me neither.
It's just like, so these are the people who ruined the people who ruined the world for me.
Yeah.
That's the most like, that's the chapter that gives that vibe the most.
One of my favorite things in the book is where it talks about like in the ninth step where it's like, such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done this sort of thing. Yes. And I was like, an expense account.
Right.
Oh,
exactly.
Yes,
no,
of course.
Like I would say like 60% of two employers is like that.
It really is.
No.
It really is.
It's like, yeah, you know.
I'm like, yeah, let me go ahead and ask my employer, Supreme Overlord Jeff Bezos, to pay for my rehab.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would love to do that.
Yeah. I meet a lot of junior executives in the rooms nowadays. Because that's like a structure that exists everywhere in the U.S. still. Okay. Okay. Bottom tier personal story from the book. Anywhere in the book, personal story.
Bottom tier personal story. Well, it's not my boy Fitz, that's for sure. I don't know. I think I would say acceptance was the answer. Mm. That's the one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's necessarily a terrible personal story. I just feel like it gets misconstrued. Like there's chunks of it that get repeated ad nauseum that kind of just gets misconstrued.
So, yeah.
And I feel like it always gets run back through the mill.
Yeah,
so
I feel
that's
like
the one.
I feel like when you're in a meeting where it's one of those where they're prone to just like pluck a story out of nowhere, it's either that one or Keys to the Kingdom for some
Keys
reason.
To the Kingdom.
I don't
Keys
know, like, what?
To the Kingdom.
Why?
Always.
Why?
It's because of that chunk at the end of the Keys to the Kingdom that's very like inspirational. And it's nice. It is nice, but I think it gets...
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we got it.
All right. Okay. Last thing here.
Oh, gosh.
Describe your experience in AA in one word.
Fun. Ooh. I really will say that. Fun.
That's great. I love you.
I will say
you
it's
looked
very fun.
Horrified and excited when I asked the question.
Well, because I don't know. I just like that's the word that just kept popping up in my brain. It's been
cool.
Fun. It really has been. Obviously horrifying and scary and some stuff here and there, but at the end of the day, mostly fun. Like truly gotten to meet the greatest people in my life. I've gotten to meet some of the worst people that I've ever met in my entire life. You know, so many stories, so many good times, bad times. I don't know. It's just been fun. It's been a ride.
Nice.
Maybe that's the best word. A ride.
Hell yeah.
I say as I'm wearing my theme park t-shirt. I love rides. I'm a theme park enthusiast.
Awesome. Hell yeah. Well, this is great. Thank you for doing this.
Absolutely. I hope that anything that I've said has been slightly useful or interesting to anyone.
It's been interesting to me, and that's really all I care about.
Okay, there we go.
This has been a podcast Greater Than Yourself.
A podcast Greater Than Yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.